And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome, RBLR Bucks, your go-to spot for all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm Usab, one of your co-hosts tonight. It's June. You know, the heat's rising, the takes are hotter, and while the offseason might feel like a slow burn, you know we're here to keep things spicy. No deep dives this week. No, we're staying on the surface with some scorching summer thoughts about the league versus the Bucks. And yes, we've got some opinions, some feelings. We're not going to hold back, and neither should you. You already know the drill. You know, comment, let us know how you feel. And even if you're, you know, listening to us afterwards, please do, you know, drop a comment, share your thoughts with us. But hey, shout out to the rest of the RBLR fam as well, holding it down across Tampa Bay. And fellas, you know, we are coming in with some energy. This episode's got a different duo. Think about maybe, you know, Jamel Dean and Zion McCollum, locked down, flying around, bringing that speed and swagger, you know, on every snap. So first up, we got Mr. Tyler Vassallo. He is a sharp-eyed analyst, and he's also a writer for the RBLR Buck Squad. So please, guys, do check that out on our website. But hey, Tyler, it's good to have you. What's got you fired up this summer so far, man, you know, during our offseason?
So far for the offseason, I mean, getting to see the boys back in the red and pewter in the practice jerseys, getting to see Mahomes, getting to see Baker Mayfield in the offense, and getting to see Hassan Reddick finally put on the jersey.
I'm sure that was a huge sigh of relief. Wasn't a huge sigh of relief for me,
especially after last offseason.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, hey, but holding it down on the other side, it is the human flamethrower of takes, always dialed in, ready to press man coverage on the hottest Bucks debates. Mr. Carter Brantley, what's the good word, my friend?
Oh, nothing much, man. I'm coming at y'all from NYC, the Big Apple, as the kids say. yeah, I don't know if we're going to be comparing us to Jamel Dean and Zion. I don't know if I can be playing press man coverage. They don't really be doing that too much. You know what I'm saying? They like to play back and play in zone quite a bit. But yeah, no, like you said, we've got a fun episode today. Very laid back, very like, you know, just spouting about the rest of the league, like you said. We'll have some, speaking of duos, some pass catching duos rankings, because there was an RBLR would never publish something like this. Bleacher Report released their top wide receiver duos, and the Bucks were ranked ninth, behind the Falcons, the Commanders, the Cowboys. Like, the Commanders and Cowboys are kind of defensible, but we'll get into all of that. But before we do, I did want to bring up, like you said, like y'all were talking about, Hassan Reddick finally showed up, and that's great. Really, really fun stuff because, like y'all mentioned, last year everyone has a little bit of PTSD from the fact that, you know, they signed someone, they brought him in, Randy Gregory, and he did not ever show up. So I think people are a bit relieved, weight off the shoulders. The veteran pass rusher is here. He's going to play. So, you know, hopefully he stays healthy. Hopefully he has a productive season. That'll be great. But getting back into the Bleacher Report thing, because I wanted to get y'all's initial thoughts on it, because it was kind of silly to me. Like, these rankings are always kind of silly, and we're going to have some fun with it because it's just so arbitrary. Like, you know, what does it really matter? But, man, they had Drake London and, Mooney. Please forgive me for what's his first name? Tyler. Darnell Mooney. Yeah, Darnell Mooney.
God.
Those two guys had ranked ahead of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I don't know. I didn't really get it. That was kind of weird. Having the Bucks ranked like in the bottom half of the top 10 makes sense. I'll get into my rankings, but I wanted to get y'all's initial thoughts on it. Musa, what are you thinking when you look at this list, and why are the Bucks so low, you know?
Well, the first thing that came to my head when I first saw this, Carter, is I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
I feel like you can read my mind, but
yeah, well, it's
that season. You know what I'm saying? It's the season of the interns, man.
That's right.
And on the 10th day of intern miss, the Bleacher Report gave to me. But I know on the real though, you know, this is just Yeah, the Falcons one is interesting. I'm also going to be honest, just because I have my utmost respect for how these guys, you know, perform in college. But we got to hold our horses, you know, throwing in guys like Travis Hunter in the top 10. I'm sorry. And then even, you know, I know with – I think I see that. That's probably the only one, actually, that I see any new – I mean, even some of these new changes, you know, looking at CeeDee Lamb and Pickens. Those things, it's like, you know, you're looking at based on what happened last year, you know. People like Pickens coming from a whole different organization. So I don't push too much thought into it. You know, with Bucks, though, at 9, I don't know. That's a little interesting. I can maybe understand because it's looking at this season and, you know, could be some concerns with, I guess, you know, Godwin's injury history, which is why they had to bump it down. That's the only reason, though. Other than that, though, I mean, if we're looking at based on past seasons, yeah, I think the Bucks should be higher. But, Tyler, man, what are you thinking?
It looks like they put the Bengals at the top of the list and then the Jaguars at the bottom of the list, and they picked every wide receiver duo left in the NFC playoffs, or at least in the NFC playoff picture.
Right.
I literally just went double-checked. It's all NFC teams except for the Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter wide receiver duo, which we haven't seen play together, obviously. And then the most expensive wide receiver duo of all time. Which is interesting because, like, from a team building standpoint, it hasn't worked out for them. They had no defense last year whatsoever to speak of. So, like, yeah, it's a cool duo. I think it's the best duo in the league, if not top two. So it's definitely an interesting list. But yeah, like Musab was saying, we're deep in the offseason now, baby.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we're talking about because, like, what else, you know, like what else is going on?
Yeah.
Football, right. You got, like you said, it's the attack of the interns. You've heard of the attack of the clones, but
next week it'll be ranking the nickel corners on every team.
Oh gosh. Oh my goodness. I dread that, but yes, I believe that is going to be a future topic, but yeah, I don't know. It's a weird list. I didn't really get it. Like you said, we saw the Hunter Thomas thing, including a rookie. I'm pretty high on Travis Hunter. He could be a great player, but yeah, basing the performance off of college is a bit odd. And you know, Brian Thomas Jr., great. I love Brian Thomas Jr. Obviously LSU guy. He was elite last year. One of the best wide receivers in football last year. Just ridiculous stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It was definitely a weird list. But we'll get into our list just because, you know, hey, if we're going to critique the list, we might as well respond with our own, right? So I'll start it off. I went one Bengals, like that's pretty cut and dry. But this list, sorry, I should have included the rules before we get into it, but we're doing pass catching duos instead of wide receivers. So this is just like wide receiver and tight end or wide receiver and running back. There's not really any of that except for the 49ers, but I'll get to that. But anyways, I went Bengals because Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, that's insane. Like that's pretty obvious. Number two, Eagles. I went A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith, pretty easy. And then number three, I went Lions. I thought, trying to mix it up. I got Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta in there. I know that Laporta was a bit banged up last year, but his rookie season was just otherworldly. Like he's been an outstanding tight end. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the best slot wide receivers, if not the best slot wide receiver in the NFL. He's just on another level. And then number four, I went Vikings. I know Justin Jefferson, he's a god. He's the best wide receiver in football. I'm not as big of a fan as Jordan Addison as some other people, so that's why I bumped them down to four. But it's still four. Like, and if someone wants to say, oh, the Vikings are second and the Eagles are third and the Lions are fourth, cool. I'm okay with it. But anyways, continuing on, I went number five, 49ers. I had George Kittle and then Christian McCaffrey or Brandon Ayuk, like kind of fill in the blank. Those two of those three guys are really, really stinking good. I know they're getting a little long in the tooth. The injury history, a big deal, but they're really good. And then number six, I went the Rams because Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. I think Puka Nacua has a legitimate claim to being the second best wide receiver in the NFL. I know that's kind of a bold take, but he is just so stinking good. He is really, really good. And then you give him Davante Adams, a seasoned veteran, still a very good wide receiver, but he'll teach him some things. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And then number seven, finally get to the Bucks. Obviously, it's the Bucks. No reason to expand on that. But never. Then I went to number eight, and I went with the Ravens. Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews are both really, really good. I know Andrews had that drop. Everyone likes to hate on him, and I get it, but he's still a really good tight end. Number nine, I went Commanders, Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin. That's a really fun duo. I don't know that Deebo is going to be as good as he has been, but he'll still be really good with Yak. He'll still be really dangerous after the catch. And then number 10, I went George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. I think they're both really, really talented wide receivers. I don't know how they work together. I don't know if Dak can stay healthy, but if that all meshes, it could be a really dangerous offense. So that's my list. Yeah, I hope y'all enjoyed it. But Tyler, I wanted to throw it back to you, man. Who are your top 10 pass catching duos? If you had to just go in kind of blind ranking, if you will.
Yeah, I actually added some outside looking ins. I think that Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas kind of deserve that outside looking in, just because like Travis Hunter has not played a snap in the NFL yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am a little skeptical about how his wide receiver game translates to the NFL.
For sure.
Just as the skeptic that I am. Yeah. And then in my outside looking in, I stuck any combination of Ayuk, Kittle, and McCaffrey on the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Pick your favorite two out of that trio. And I think they deserve outside looking in. As a trio, they would probably be a top 10 trio, I guess you'd say.
Absolutely.
And then Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. We haven't seen them play together yet. Ooh, Nico Collins has been fantastic.
Oh, I love Nico Collins. He is a top five wide receiver, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think Christian Kirk is not quite good enough, but I also, you know, he spent the last, three or four years with Trevor Lawrence. So,
yeah, that's fair.
And it's not been a happy time there in Jacksonville. Yeah. And then I've got the last outside looking in is Cooper Kupp and Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I think that Sam Darnold needs an elite wide receiver the same way. Like, I don't think he's – this is kind of a hot take. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. I think he just played with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Like, right. I'm watching with my eyes on NFL Red Zone.
Yeah.
Every single deep ball he completes is severely underthrown, and a very talented wide receiver comes back to get it.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of crazy.
For sure.
And then starting with my top 10, I have Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. I think Travis Kelce is definitely in the twilight years of his career. If you had asked me 5 or 6 years ago when he was still playing with Tyreek Hill, I would have put them number one without even having to think about it. And then I also had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Last season was pretty rough for them.
Yeah.
But from a pure talent perspective,
it's hard not to
put them in there.
Yeah.
And then I had St. Brown and Williams right here. I'm not very enthused by Williams. The straight line speed is cool.
Sure.
He had 1,000 yards this season on only 91 targets, but he only had 58 catches. 58 catches on 91 targets, kind of ugly,
concerning
to me. Yeah. And then I have McLaurin and Samuel for the Washington Commanders. Mm-hmm. I wasn't super thrilled by Samuel this past season either, but I think Terry McLaurin is going to end up being kind of the Mike Evans of his generation of wide receivers, where he just kind of gets forgotten. Mm-hmm. He's been really, really good every single year for that team. Mm-hmm. And so pairing him with Deebo Samuel, who kind of complements him in the same way Godwin and Evans complement each other, I think that makes it a very interesting duo.
All right.
And then I have Evans Godwin here. Enough said about them. I think everybody can kind of guess where I stand on them as a duo.
For sure.
And then I have Devonta Smith and AJ Brown right here. I love AJ Brown as a player. Devonta Smith has been kind of disappointing to me, like for a Heisman wide receiver. You don't see that very often, obviously. Right. But Devonta Smith has kind of come into the NFL. He's really, really good for the first couple seasons, but like only 800 yards receiving last year,
mm-hmm.
only 2 1,000 yard receiving seasons in the 4 years he's been in the NFL.
Right.
It's not super great. Yeah. And then I put CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens at four. I'm very, very intrigued.
Okay. I like it.
I'm very intrigued.
Okay.
I think CeeDee Lamb, if he didn't play for the Cowboys, I think he would be regarded as either the first or the second best wide receiver in the NFL.
Wow. So you think there's an anti-Cowboys bias there?
Absolutely. I think there's an anti-Cowboys bias, and I'm part of it. I hate the Cowboys.
Fair enough. I do too. Yeah, I feel you. I feel you.
I primarily hate Dak Prescott, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, he's
I think he's just like not a very good quarterback anymore. He was great until he hurt his ankle.
Right.
It is what it is. And I think if CeeDee Lamb played, like if he played the way he's paid, which he's paid for a good reason, mm-hmm. if he comes anywhere near that this season, I would be absolutely thrilled to have that duo on my team.
Right.
Also, I just kind of really love George Pickens as a character.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. He's an interesting
And then I have Nacua and Adams here. Devontae Adams is also kind of in the twilight years of his career, but Puka Nacua. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's hard to put him as the third or fourth receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's done it like in the first, four seasons. Like he's putting together a Hall of Fame resume already. You don't see all pro guys that early. And then the top two is kind of interchangeable. Jefferson, Addison, or Higgins and Chase. It's kind of whichever one you prefer. I prefer Jefferson and Addison. Mm-hmm. I think Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah.
And I think Addison is good enough as a second. Well, good enough. He's probably top 20 wide receiver in the NFL. But, you know, I think he's good enough as a second option that it's better than Chase and Higgins as a duo.
Sure. Wow. All right. Hey, I love the fact that we had very different lists. Like that's
outstanding
because it means that we get to talk about more fun wide receivers. Cause like, like you want to include like Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice. Like, yeah, they're both great. Like it's hard to not include them on a top 10 list, you know? So, and the Dolphins, like you said, like they're so ridiculously talented, but Tyreek Hill, I don't know like what he's going to do this year. Like, is he going to play? Like, is he going to get into legal trouble? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's brutal.
The Dolphins are just in a tough spot, huh?
Yeah, they really are.
They got Jalen Ramsey as well. Is he going to play?
Yeah. I don't know. Miami's in a weird spot, but I love it. I love that we have very different lists. That's the whole point of this. And Mr. Tariq, to take us home for this top 10 wide receiver pass catching duos, who you got? What are your rankings?
Yeah, well, you know me, I'm an advocate for diversity, so it's gonna be a little bit different. So number one, I'm gonna go Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. Number two, though, I'm actually gonna go AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. I just think that they're an absolute dominant duo under Jalen Hurts. They're balanced, you know. They come through big time for some big plays, so I like them a lot. Number three, I'm gonna go Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison from the Vikings. Number four, I'm actually, thinking about it a little bit now. I'm actually going to be rocking with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams.
Ooh, I like it.
Number four, Nacua just, he had an absolute rookie breakout, season. And he's got, you got a veteran like Devontae Adams. So, I love what I've seen so far from Puka Nacua. And, fingers crossed, things work well for Devontae Adams. Number six, I'm gonna go Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams from the Lions. Young duo. And I feel like they definitely got more in the tank, especially this upcoming season. What was that? Number six? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Going back and forth. Number seven. I'm gonna go Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I got him down here. I would have had him a little bit higher, but I feel like I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but something's in the air just because of the Godwin injury history. And then, you got Igbuka. I'm not going to be an idiot and be like, oh, it's going to be like an iconic trio with Igbuka, Godwin, and Evans. I'm going to hold my horses with that. But so that was number seven. Number eight, I'm going to go Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel. McLaurin has been very consistent. I think Deebo comes through big time, and I feel like, it's going to be a great year for Jaden Daniels running and throwing. Number nine, I actually had I totally skipped. No wonder I was going back and forth. So I'm so sorry. Hey, we're gonna squeeze in. So let's bump down everyone after. Let's go number four. Yeah, because I want Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews in there. I was so hard headed on, you know, the wide receiver duo going on here that, you know, we've been showing some tight end love.
For sure.
So I'm gonna throw in, yeah, Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. I just feel like it's a really unique wide receiver tight end threat. Mm-hmm. So I know it's kind of spicy, but so I guess that leaves me with number 10, because I forgot about them. Wow, I just completely screwed up everything. But number 10, hey, I want to give some love, you know, to the West Coast. I got, yeah, Jackson Smith, Jigba, and Cooper Kupp from the Seattle Seahawks. I feel like that's just something's cooking for them. That's why I got them number 10. I mean, I feel like, yeah, as Tyler said, you know, Darnold needs someone like Cooper Kupp. And, you know, you got this fresh and intriguing kind of guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you can definitely throw in some more guys in there. Tyler, I mean, I really love the guys that you mentioned as well that I didn't. So it's all going to come down to, you know, what goes on with injuries, you know, things like offensive line, quarterback, because it can all change if, you know, you got a backup or a couple of backups in there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf and George Pickens would have been a crazy duo if Pickens didn't get traded. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that
would been... something about, but yeah, something about that Steelers organization, especially after they got Rodgers.
It was a little fishy.
It just made sense as to why Pickens said toodles.
Yeah,
yeah. You can only have two crazy people in the room, right? You can't have the third.
Yeah.
So Metcalf and Rodgers, they're at their quota for crazy people.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, great list, guys. Those were fantastic. I love the shout outs of the various different wide receivers, because like you really like the NFL just has so many talented playmakers right now. Like we're really in a beautiful era, like in terms of just like guys that can get open, guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands, and guys that can just like make ridiculous catches. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much fun to watch these guys go out there. So really, like any top 10 list that is at least like y'all's was. We all three of us, I feel like we're defensible, and like any top 10 list like that, it's going to be pretty defensible. Like as long as you're not including maybe like, I don't know, there's not even really the Titans, maybe, I guess, would be like a silly one. Like the Saints, maybe, I guess. The
Panthers. I couldn't tell you a Titans wide receiver outside of Tyler Lockett.
I think, is Calvin Ridley still there? I think maybe.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't even know. But. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting exercise because, you know, it forces you to think about other teams. And obviously the Bucs do have one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. But, you know, at their advanced age, like how high can you rank them? And I think all three of us were kind of in that bottom three tier in terms of top 10. And I think that's pretty accurate. So, yeah, it was an interesting exercise. But if you're looking for the Bengals or the Vikings or the Eagles, whoever your top wide receiver pass catching room is, if you're going to look for an upgrade for your wardrobe that's of that caliber, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. Look at Mr. Tariq. He's repping it. He's got it.
Sure.
Anything Tampa Bay sports related, we've got you covered. So definitely head on over there. Check it out. If you're looking for some, you know, some midsummer splash, you know, some midsummer upgrade, go to the beach, or maybe you're just going to hang out. Definitely head there. We've got hats. We've got shirts. We've got all kinds of gear. So we'll give you a promo code as well. Canon, CANNONS. Type that in, get 10% off your entire order. Definitely head there and check it out. All right, so this second half of the episode, we're still doing rankings because this is just a fun little rankings episode. We might keep doing this, you know, go around position by position, try to figure out who we think the best in the NFL are, because hey, it's fun, it's the off season. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of Bucks news to talk about.
So, feels like first take.
Yeah, I know, right? Like it's very much anti what I'm usually about, but at the same time, like, you know, gotta pay the bills, right? Like, you know, that's why ESPN does it. They gotta get those clips.
That's funny.
They gotta get Stephen A. Smith on there and start yelling about why, you know, Lamar Jackson's overrated. I don't know what Stephen A. Smith thinks about Lamar Jackson, but anyways, so we'll get into it. We'll get into our top 10 quarterbacks. That's where we're starting, because it's kind of the most fun position, maybe not in the top four. The top four, in my opinion, are kind of solidified, but after that, it gets really interesting. Tyler, I wanted to start with you first. Give us your top 10 quarterbacks and who you got.
Yeah, the top four is, I would say, probably one or two steps above the rest.
Yeah.
I would have said that it's the top one and then the top three before this past season.
Right.
Because Mahomes had just been playing on another level, but this season he looked a little more human. So I would say it's now a top four instead of a one plus three. Mm-hmm. And so now it's kind of whatever order you prefer with the four. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Personally, I think Allen and Jackson deserve to be one and two.
I like it.
I would put Lamar Jackson first. I think that I think that, you know, there's just something about watching him play football. He's playing a different sport than everybody else. And it's true about Josh Allen as well. Like, they're playing something, they're doing something else. It looks more like rugby when they're playing. Right. Just the downhill running for both of those quarterbacks turns it into a wholly separate sport. And you don't really see it with other mobile quarterbacks in the league outside of maybe Jaden Daniels, who it kind of turned into that for him last season. But even like Jalen Hurts, I think of as mobile, he doesn't play mobile quarterback that way.
Yeah.
Josh Allen did at the beginning of his career, but neither of them have struggled the way that you expect mobile quarterbacks do when they're tasked with throwing the ball downfield, throwing to the sidelines. They don't have any of the arm strength issues.
Right.
So I think that they're one and two. I would put Mahomes third and then Burrow fourth.
Okay.
Mahomes kind of was playing by himself last year.
Yeah.
He was playing with a bunch of walk-ons.
Right.
But he was still performing at like the highest level in the NFL. He wasn't a particularly great quarterback statistically. It's hard to not put him anywhere near the top.
Yeah.
He doesn't play as a mobile quarterback, but he's also playing a different sport.
Yes, absolutely.
But he wasn't even playing that sport last year. He was playing the Brady game of checking it down, taking the short options, because teams have absolutely taken away the top of the offense for him.
Yeah.
And he was still winning. He was still playing winning football, playing the way he doesn't want to.
Right.
And then Burrow, I mean, I hate to say it, but the guy has aura. It's hard to hate the guy. He is probably one of the more likable quarterbacks in the NFL. But on top of that, he's really good at football.
Yeah, he's insane.
He's ridiculously good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily put him with the other three in terms of talent, but in terms of production, he's right there with them.
For sure.
Which is kind of shocking. But when you also look at the weapons that he's had, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd at one point.
Right.
And Joe Mixon even. Yeah. He's cut out of a nice chunk for himself in the NFL when nobody was really giving him a shot, even in college.
Right.
After that top four, it gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I personally will put Baker Mayfield as that fifth guy in the top five.
Wow.
I'm willing to say it. And it's not even because
where's Zach?
I know.
It's not even because I'm a Bucks fan. Maybe it's because I'm sitting in Zach's chair today.
Right.
But something is speaking to my soul. Baker Mayfield, he is the gunslinger's gunslinger right now in the NFL. It's like the spirit of Brett Favre has taken over him. Hopefully that doesn't last much longer.
Right.
As he did lead the league in interceptions last season.
Yeah, right.
But he also he posted the highest yardage rating, the highest yardage total for his entire career. He had the most rushing yards of his career. He had the most rushing yards for any Bucs quarterback outside of Steve Young.
Oh, man.
And, you know, he's taken us past the wild card round, well, to the wild card round in the two seasons he's been here. He has been the most statistically significant quarterback for the Bucs since Tom Brady. I mean, he's been the only one since Tom Brady.
Right.
But outside of Tom Brady, it's him. And, you know, Jameis Winston, if you take away 25 interceptions. But Baker had one of the highest quarterback ratings in the NFL last season, despite the interceptions. Mm-hmm. He was second or third in completion percentage as well. And he was in the top five in touchdowns. So putting him in the top five doesn't even seem crazy to me. It would seem crazy not to, quite honestly.
Wow. I love
it. And then outside of that, I would put some combination of Jared Goff and Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels. These are guys who, at the current moment, are very good in their role. I think Jalen Hurts has potential to break outside of that and be the superstar quarterback, but he's kind of struggled to do that. He has his moments. At one point, he had like the most turnovers over a 16 game stretch, starting last season. Mm-hmm. And Jared Goff has been very good for the Lions. Maybe it's just me looking at the past and thinking like Jared Goff is a game manager still. He's very good for the Lions. I just think back to those Rams days where right. he was just kind of a point and shoot quarterback in a McVay system. So yeah. maybe he does suffer from that. He had a very similar season to Mayfield this season though. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely interesting. And then like Matt Stafford, I would throw in here towards the end of the top 10, and then Jordan Love, who had like led the league in EPA per play this season, didn't he?
Yeah, he was insane.
He added the most points per play for his team. Mm-hmm. And then if you really want to get to the outside looking in, it's CJ Stroud for me. It's Justin Herbert. It's Trevor Lawrence. These are guys that I need to see just a little bit more from them. CJ Stroud had a rough sophomore season. Justin Herbert is like the all-time leader in hypotheticals for an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence was like football Jesus for a moment. Yeah. And now he is just kind of a mid-tier quarterback. And I would really like to see him be good this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love that. Like I took a very different, well, I don't want to say very different because the top four is still the top four, but the rest of my list is a bit different than that. But yeah, I love it. I definitely enjoyed that we have very different opinions on Justin Herbert. Like I am much higher on Justin Herbert than you are, but I don't know. We'll get into my list soon enough. But Mr. Tariq, I wanted to get your top 10 quarterbacks first, though. Who you got?
Yes, sir. So number one, I'm kind of going 1-2, but I love the guy too much to put him at number two. I'm going Lamar Jackson, number one. I mean, again, I've said this at least three or four times on this show. I've seen the guy since 2016 when he cooked up FSU. And oh my God, it's just, and then, you know, he came into the league. People were already hating on him, telling him to play like wide receiver or running back or something. And I mean, he has done nothing but just shut the haters up and just, oh my God. Absolute, I think, just iconic dual threat quarterback. Josh Allen, again, just 2024 MVP. I mean, how do you, you know, put him after 1-2? So just super efficient, absolute dog. This is where it gets a little interesting. I want to give, you know, respect to, you know, Patty Mahomes, but I'm going to put him actually at number four. I got Joe Burrow at number three.
I love it. Yes, Musa.
I like That's Joe Burrow. Fantastic. He's an absolute dog. He just, you know.
Put him lower.
Been through his own. It's just, you know, the Bengals are just kind of just a weird organization in my eyes. Oh,
they're going through a mess. Yeah.
So for that reason, it's just like, you know, I feel like, you know, you just feel bad for the guy. I'm only going to put Mahomes in at number four just because – he's Mahomes, I guess. It's more kind of like, you know, out of respect. But I'm not that sold because I feel like the future is Mr. Jaden Daniels, who I have at number five. Just, oh, my God. I love the kid. He reminds me of, like, Lamar Jackson 2.0 and what he has done with this Commanders organization in his rookie year. You know, it also puts a smile on my face that everyone was squirting about Caleb Williams, but, you know, Caleb Williams walked so Jaden Daniels could fly. You know what I'm saying? So, number six, we're going to go for our boy, Mr. Baker Mayfield. I don't know what else to say. I mean, he's been, you know, playing absolutely amazing. Best season since his pre-Ram days. Other than Brady, I mean, I got him as number two. Just because, you know, Winston did a lot of great things for us. But, you know, Winston's those, like, straight-A students with, like, 25 DUIs. So you just be like, I'll take the straight B student and just, you know, give him the acceptance letter. So, yeah.
Jameis Winston after is a student with a 2.0, and he has, like, a 1,500 SAT.
Yeah, that are just, like, yeah, absolute brilliant genius mind, but has – the attitude or the behavior of like a 4-year-old with a tantrum. Anyways, we're going to leave Jameis alone. After number six, this is where it gets a little kind of like, okay, you know, kind of like with you, Tyler. You know, I want to give, you know, a shout out to Jalen Hurts and also CJ Stroud, I feel like, is up there. I'm feeling optimistic. Again, look, he's young. He had stellar rookie season, you know, regressed in 2024, but he's got upside for sure. Yeah, as you said, Tyler, you know, I want to see something from him more. So that was like, what, 7-8? Yeah, so I go 7, Jalen Hurts, 8. Yeah, I'll go CJ Stroud, 9. I'll go Brock Purdy. I just like the guy just because of you know, his history. He's Mr. Irrelevant and what he's done. I think he is, you know, excelling, you know, so far in Shanahan's playbook. So trustworthy guy as well, you know, for what it's worth. And last but not least, I'm going to go Jordan Love. I like it. Again, you know, just absolute, you know, dog, young guy. You know, these guys, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels. I mean, these guys are the future. I mean, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, they already are paving their way. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this new class of, you know, young quarterbacks, they're looking real good. I know I didn't mention Justin Herbert. I honestly, I'm just not sold on Justin Herbert, guys. You know, I know we're not all, you know, we don't have this guy in the top three, but I got nothing against the Chargers organization. But, you know, the way I feel about the Chargers, it's kind of what y'all were kind of saying with, you know, the Titans. I don't know. I kind of just forgot about him a little bit, you know? Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Tyler, I forgot about Justin Herbert before you mentioned him, honestly. I mean, it's, yeah. So I'm not trying to, you know, crap on the guy. But anyways, those are my guys. But I kind of want to hear what, you know, you got to say as well, Carter.
Yeah. I really like the fact. Yeah, I really like the fact that we're all so differed on Justin Herbert, and then, like, you know, Jared Goff didn't make your list, Musaba. I love that we have different, and Mahomes at 4 is awesome. I love it so much. Like, I wish I had like the boldness to put him at 4, but unfortunately, I have Patrick Mahomes at number 1. I know. Yeah, it's
what
you,
man. What happened, man? These interns peer pressuring you now.
You've gone soft, Carter. You've gone soft.
I know. I'm a softy. I know. He's my least favorite quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's the
annoying.
The anti-charismatic. Like, he's not. I don't find his style of football fun to watch. Like, he's very like Shea Gilgeous Alexander kind of, with like just drawing flags and stuff. Yep. It's gross to watch, but. Like, he's also undeniable. Like, whenever you're watching a Kansas City game, it's like, when's Mahomes going to do his thing? You know, and there's no one else on this list that really has that sort of fear factor, even at this stage of Kansas City football. I know he doesn't have the tools that he used to with, you know, Tyreek Hill and prime Travis Kelce, but he's still Patrick Mahomes. So, unfortunately, I got to put him number 1. But I would love to, like, next season, I would love to feel differently. I would love to say, oh, Mahomes is washed, like, Lamar and Allen are number 1 and number 2. I still have Lamar at number 2, Josh Allen at number 3. They're sort of interchangeable. Like, if you say Josh Allen's better than Lamar, okay, like, that's fine. You know, I just think Lamar is more fun. He's more fun to watch, more dynamic. But I get it. Allen had just ridiculous numbers last year, his EPA per play and all that stuff. So he was insane last year. And then Joe Burrow, number 4. In my opinion, if he was on a better team with a better defense, I think he wins MVP last year. Like, he had just ridiculous, like, eye-popping passing numbers. But also, those are kind of also inflated because his defense was so bad. Because, you know, when you're playing from behind. Yeah, like, you're just going to pass. And, you know, good for him. Like, he took advantage. But, yeah, I still have him at number 4 because he's still great. Like, he's still one of the best in the NFL. And then number 5, y'all are going to love this. I have Justin Herbert. Like, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I know. He was a 97th percentile PFF grade for quarterbacks. Like, he's really, really good. Like, he's a good quarterback. I'm not the hypothetical guy. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, if you gave him Joe Burrow's weapons, he would be even better. Like, no, I'm not going to say all that. I still think he's quite a good quarterback. Like, I'm a big believer in Justin Herbert. For better or for worse, I know that the Chargers have kind of not done the best job of surrounding him with weapons. Quentin Johnson, it's not exactly worked out, but I don't know. It's still like, he's still great. Like, you listen to, like, Peyton Manning released his list of top five quarterbacks, and it was basically that. Like, it was Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Burrow, and Herbert. I don't remember what order it was, but you know, if Peyton Manning thinks you're great, if Pro Football Focus thinks you're great, maybe there's some agreement between the traditionalists and the advanced analytics or whatever you want to call them. So if there's that, then I'm going to be pretty high on him. Then number six, I have Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's, you know, he like Musab and Tyler, like y'all were both saying, not exactly that superstar level quarterback. There's definitely a gap for me between, like, there's a gap between, you know, the top four and then Justin Herbert. And then for me, there's another gap between Justin Herbert and the rest of these guys. So I got Herbert at five and Jalen Hurts at six because Hurts won the Super Bowl and he was really good. Like, the Eagles don't win without him as their quarterback. He was fantastic. Just need to see a little bit more from him to put him higher. Then number seven, Jaden Daniels. He's outstanding. Like, I could very easily see Jaden Daniels leapfrogging into the top five next year if he has another season like he did this past year. Just
completely agree.
In the production, I want to try to respect, you know, more than 1 year of production from these other guys. And then number eight, I finally get to Baker. I know Baker is, you know, I'm ranking a little low compared to y'all, but, you know, he's got a great completion percentage over expected, 90th percentile PFF grade. Like, he's really, really, he had an outstanding season. But like y'all have said, the turnovers were concerning. That's what's kind of keeping him down for me. But if he can clean those up a little bit, he shoots up this list too. Like, him and Daniels could very easily be five and six next year, like, without a question. And then number nine, I got Jared Goff. He's got another great completion percentage over expected, but how to separate his production versus playing behind an awesome offensive line and having, you know, Sam LaPorta and Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs and an amazing play caller. Like, how do you separate all those things? I don't know. It's a really hard thing to do. He's still really good though. Like, he's a very good, he's very good at what he does. He's just not asked to do nearly as much as some of these other quarterbacks on this list. Yeah. Number 10, I've got Jordan Love, elite EPA per dropback. I know he looked awful against the Eagles in the playoffs, but so did everyone. Like, the Eagles defense, probably one of the best of this century. Like, I know the Broncos from that Super Bowl run is number one. The Eagles defense, not that far behind. Like, really, really good stuff from them last year. So for him to go on the road in the snow to struggle against the Eagles in a playoff game, not really surprising. Like, I don't know that there's any other quarterback in the NFL that would have had much success against that Eagles defense, especially with Jordan Love's offensive weapons. They're not, you know, they have a bunch of wide receiver twos and threes. They don't really have an elite first target for him, which can be tough for game planning as well as him. So yeah, that's my list. I really enjoyed this exercise. I don't know about y'all, but I thought this was a lot of fun. I think we're going to do another position ranking next week. We're nearing the end of our episode, in case you couldn't tell. But we might do running backs next week. I don't know. We'll see. We'll pitter around some ideas. But hopefully Zach Blaine will be back so we can get this Tyler guy off the screen. I mean, geez, Louise. no, thank you so much for joining us, Tyler. We really appreciate it. And thank you, of course, to Musab, as always, making my life easy as a co-host. So did Tyler, you know. thanks to all our listeners and to all the people that tuned in. If you like what you heard, give us a like, give us a subscribe or a follow. Definitely keep up with us. But we'll see y'all next week. We'll be back at you with another Bucks episode. We'll keep talking some football. It might not be as Bucks focused as always. It'll kind of be like this maybe, but we'll still be talking some football. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.